Here we are, April 7th, the evening service, and we are looking at, we're looking at Timothy. Not the books of Timothy, but we're looking at Timotheus. I'm going to put the screen down so I don't see anything here. And we're looking at the verses that talk about Timotheus and Timothy. And it's not a prepared sermon. We've got the verses here in front of us, and I hope that you've got your notes with you from this morning. And we're just going through these verses, and we're talking about each one, and we're slowly putting together a list of important facts about this Timothy guy and Timotheus. And are they the same person? Well, they have to be, because Timothy and Timotheus are intertwined. There is the word I was looking for this morning, intertwined amongst all the other verses. So they're still the same guy we're talking. It's not two different guys. And, it's just like we got Mark and Marky. We got Bob and Bobby. I'll go through the list again. Oh, I did leave out one this morning. Mike and Mikey. Michael, I was called Mikey from my grandma. I was confirmed back in my religious days, and I was graduated as Mickle, which really irritated me each time, but anyway. So that's what this has to be. There has to be a reason for it, and I know God has a reason for putting Timotheus and Timothy. Maybe Timotheus tells us more about Timothy the person as compared to Timothy, but so does using the word Timothy somewhat. So anyway, that question I cannot answer, but we are going through these verses that have the word Timotheus in it. And we have come up with, so far we have 11 facts, 11 statements of importance about this guy. One, get out your list and let's check your list. I would take the time to have you type the list, but maybe that's the kind of stuff we could do this summer. We could just make these things go on for hours or whatever. And just, maybe this is the time I've always wanted to do a continuous sermon and just start and go through the Bible or whatever and just do the whole thing without stopping except for a drink of water and what you do with the water. And just keep doing this thing. And so this one big, massive, long sermon, you guys would come and go or whatever. I would just keep yakking for the whole day. I'd like to do that sometime. Guinness Book of Records, the world's longest sermon. just teach the book in one big series here without stopping. Think of the weight I might lose. Think how tired I would get. Can't be any worse than I was over this musical stuff. So anyway, here we go. We learned this morning that Paul had a confusing and difficult home situation to deal with, just like most of us do. We learned that he was with Paul when Paul was pressed in the spirit in Macedonia, when he testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. So Timothy heard Paul preach that particular message. Timotheus was in Asia with Paul, and he ministered into Paul, and this whole Asia scene is where Paul got all that trouble from Demetrius and all that hassle. So Timothy was there for that. One, he was ministered unto Paul. The second one, number four, was he was part of the Asia crowd. Number five, Paul refers to him as his work fellow. Fellow worker, work fellow, so they're in this thing together. 1 Corinthians 4:17, there's four things in there. One is actually there's probably five, I don't think I mentioned, that this is all for the cause of helping us follow Paul. For it says, for this cause. And then Timothy is listed as Paul's beloved son, number seven. He's listed as being faithful in the Lord, the risen Lord, of course. He is listed as the way that Paul is going to help us remember the ways that Paul teaches, the ways which be in Christ. Paul's ways will be done through Timothy. And those ways are supposed to be taught in every church, everywhere in every church. That was number nine. Number ten, that if Timothy were to show up to us, or Timothy was to show up to amongst any of us here, that he would be without fear. Meaning that he wouldn't be afraid of the fact that we wouldn't be mad at him for preaching what he preaches and taught what he teaches, what he teaches about the walk as a Christian, a man or a woman or whatever. And all those things that are in the book of Timothy are so tough and so hard on people. But we should not, blame Timothy. Timothy should be able to come to us and not feel bad, not have fear about the fact of how we're going to react to him. And then number 11, the work that he was doing was the work of the Lord, as Paul did. That got us to point number 11 on our facts. So let's go on to another one here. Let's go on to part 2 tonight. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. Those 11 points, I will type those up and put those on the notes for this particular sermon, actually. Having the musical out of the way, and I've done a lot of resting lately, and spring coming around the corner. It's been an energizer, so maybe I can start getting some notes out there. And again, this summer I could get back to typing up a bunch of study notes or whatever. But it'd be up to you guys to help keep this thing going instead of me having to work at some gas, drive 45 minutes to work at a gas station or McDonald's and then drive back and blow all that money just driving back and forth. I guess they could go over to the western part of the state and help drill oil, make big bucks doing that. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 1:19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus, and Timotheus. Well, see, Timotheus preached to these guys. But what he says here is interesting. Even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Now, you can make up that what you'd like, but what we see going on there, I think it says here, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, so that was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. You want to go positive only stuff? Do you want to go the goodness of God only stuff? Was not yea and nay. It was not mixed up with, well, this is okay and this is not okay. But in him was yea. It's the right stuff. It's the good stuff. It's almost like he's saying, here's what you do, not what you don't do. Or it's like, here I'm saying some stuff, and I'm not Charlie Brown wishy-washy back and forth. This is solid stuff. This is yea. This is the truth. Not a little bit of that, and a little bit of this, and a little bit of that. Not trying to bring some other stuff in to keep you happy, kind of a deal. It's just yay. In him was yay. So, his preaching was yay. Point number 12. So you write that down, like a good student should in the classroom. Okay, let's go to another one. I see somebody said something here. Let's see what it was that somebody said. Oh, wow. A 28-hour sermon was the record? Well, I certainly have enough to talk about. This guy coming up with a 28-hour sermon had to bring in the Old Testament, had to talk about all this kind of stuff, and bring in the Gospels and talk about his miracles, blah, 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 blah. Oh, I could outdo 28 hours if I could just live long enough, or I could just stay awake long enough and do the thing long enough with Paul's stuff. Are you kidding? Yeah, probably to pause for the Lord's Supper once in a while too. I would just sit back in my recliner, and I guess I don't care if I set a Guinness Book of Records, because I'd have to take a nap somewhere. But I just want to yak about this. Want to talk about this stuff. Let's keep going here. We're looking at let's go to Philippians 1:1, Philippians chapter 1 verse 1. Nothing big in here, but it does say that Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. So Paul and Timotheus, they were there together. And we learn, remember up there that it was point number 3 where Timotheus ministered unto Paul, helped take care of the guy, helped him with his needs, etc., etc. So there they are again in Philippi together. So that's a good point, but nothing earth-shattering, but interesting. Now here we go. Here's another one of those. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. Similar to 1 Corinthians 16:10. to where Timothy is going to show up, and that he may be with you without fear. Here's another one, Philippians 2:19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you. Okay? Now remember, Timotheus, and I'm mentioning Timotheus in such a fashion that we're kind of referring to the books of Timothy as well, because that's what Timotheus, you know, wrote to us, what he was taught. So, to send Timotheus shortly unto you means that you're going to read 1st and 2nd Timothy. And if you do that, and you try to respond to what those chapters teach to us, to in our walk manner of life for Paul, it says here, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Now, we know he's not looking for North Dakota, South Dakota, Arizona, or Washington, or Wisconsin, or Delaware. He's talking about the fact that if Timothy shows up to these guys, unto you and to us, that Paul will be of good comfort because of what Paul taught Timothy to teach to us. He will know, Paul will know, with Timothy coming to see us, and us reading Timothy, that he will know that we are doing okay. When I know your state, well, does that mean we're going to be doing okay? According to Paul, we're going to be suffering persecution. But still, Paul says, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. And tie that in with 16:10 of Corinthians here, you know, we are going to be doing the things that Timothy teaches to us, and we're going to be doing the right thing. And that should give us a joy, should give us a comfort ourselves, even though we know we're persecuted. We've been over this before. But Paul will know, and Paul will be of good comfort. When Timothy comes to us and tells Paul, hey, Paul, these guys are doing the stuff I taught them. Now, they're having some hard times with it. You know, they're having some persecution, but they're doing the right thing, and they're hanging in there. And we get that from reading Timothy, all the things. Timothy is more than just the do's and the don'ts. We know that. But all that Timothy talks about, Paul would know that he would know our state, our condition, the way, how are we doing? Paul would know that. That would give Paul comfort. So that's a good thing. Timothy would pass on our testimony. And it would give Paul comfort. That's point number 13. Okay. Let's do another one here. Colossians 1:1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. Well, there he is again. He's with Paul. And here's a reference to Paul, Timothy being our brother. So with that in mind, let's go down to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. And sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. So there's how important Timothy is. He's brother, he's brethren. He is a minister of God. And he's a fellow laborer. And in this fellow laboring, he's in the gospel of Christ. Again, that's the risen Savior. That's not the gospel of Jesus to the Jews in the Gospels. That's the gospel of the risen Savior, the risen Christ. Okay? So there's three things right there. Again, it ties into the fact that he's, you know, brethren, part of the brethren. He's a minister of God. And 15, he's a fellow laborer with Paul in the gospel of Christ. Now, there's more in that verse. Because, see, here's Timothy's purpose as being a fellow laborer with Paul and the group that he's with. You got Silvanus, so these guys. He's a minister of God. And he's fellow laboring in the gospel of Christ. Well, why is that? To establish us. To establish us. and says they're to establish you, who he's talking to there, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you. And then, here it is again. To comfort you concerning your faith. So, when Paul realizes that Timothy is going to these people, and Timothy comes back with a report of their testimony, and they are establishing their manner of life, they are being established, and they're comforted by Timotheus concerning their faith. So see, there are still references to the fact that we still have a faith. Yes, we have the faith of Christ, and we're all aware of that, although nobody else seems to be, but we're aware of the faith of Christ. But our faith can still get stronger. We can have the faith to stand up and do the fight we need to fight. How many times do we just give up and lose our faith? Our faith goes down. Well, I'll guarantee it's because you're not in your book. You're not hearing the preaching or teaching about from Paul, from the risen Savior. And all the things that are going on are just dragging us down. And our faith starts to fizzle. Boy, praise the Lord that we have His faith to keep us going on an eternity basis. But when it comes to day-to-day, we can... But see, having Timothy come to us, which again, let me update this thing. Us reading the book of 1 and 2 Timothy will get us established. It gives us the groundwork. It gives us the strength. And it should comfort us because we know we're doing the right thing. When you put something on and it makes you look, what I heard somebody say back in the big town of Tushy, makes them look frumpy. But the only reason you look frumpy, man, is because you feel like you look frumpy. And in your case, you do look frumpy. But you don't have to look frumpy to dress like a Christian that pleases the risen Savior. Who says you have to look frumpy? I remember that one. That was like, that really helps everybody else want to do the right thing, you know. So, if we read Timothy and try to do these things, like Paul said, you know, certainly his mind serves the law of God, but his flesh serves the law of sin. But if we try to do the right thing and we get the heat for it and the tribulation for it and the persecution and stuff, man, it's comforting because, hey, you know from the Scriptures you are doing the right thing. You have no doubt. You've been established. So, there's like 14, 15, 16 points, 16 points right there, up to number 16. Let's do another one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, here, part of the same whole scene here, from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity. So, Timotheus is bringing back a good testimony here of faith and charity. And besides that, and that ye have good remembrance of us always. So, Paul, part of this testimony that Timotheus is bringing back to Paul is the fact that you guys remember what we've taught you. You remember us. You remember Paul. You remember these guys that have taught you these things and it's a good remembrance. You know, you read the books that Paul wrote and you realize what these things are. You remember Paul. You remember where you got it from. You remember what it is that you learned. You know the stuff and you remember it. And then, another point in this testimony going back from Timothy to Paul is these people are desiring greatly to see Paul. And he says us, meaning, you know, Timotheus, Paul, Silvanus, and all these other people that are with him. They desire not just to see, but desire greatly to see. You know, you come here Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday night if you're really of the tough kind and you can make it fit into your schedule, et cetera, et cetera. You are desiring greatly, not to hear from me, but you're desiring greatly to hear from Paul. Because you know that's what you're going to get here. So, you know what it is of Paul's preaching. You know what it is of Paul's teaching. You know what it is that Timothy is trying to get us to realize in our day-to-day manner of life and our walk. And those are the ways of Paul. So you know you're coming here, that's what you're going to get. And you desire greatly to hear that stuff. And then lastly, it says here, as we also to see you. So see, Paul was just as happy to see those people as they were to see him. What a great opportunity to tell people something. That's what this is all about. Timotheus goes to these people, and he comes back with a good testimony of comfort and faith and charity and good remembrance of the people that taught him what they taught him, and they desire greatly to hear more of it and to see these people. And Paul is just as excited to go see them as well. They're not fighting and arguing with Paul about, well, I don't think modesty means what you say it means, Paul. I don't think they're going to argue with Paul about, well, am I being too loud? Why can't I work here? Why can't I do this? Or the men are going, oh, Paul, you're so hard on us men. You know, we're just trying to keep the peace around the house and everything. You know, but Paul didn't have to deal with that stuff. He was excited to see these people. He greatly desired to see them because he knew they were going to remember what it was he was going to teach them. They're going to try to change their lives over this stuff. And Timotheus is going to go there, and the stuff that Timothy preaches is like, oh, wow. But they're excited. It gives them comfort. Okay. So there's that. Probably up to 16, I would guess, on that, maybe. 16 points. Now, we have to jump over to Timothy now, the word Timothy. That's it for the Timotheus verses. Again, there's a couple other places, Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus unto the church of somewhere. So they were a team, they're a triple team there, and some others involved. Now we go to Timothy here. Just the word Timothy, again, referring to the same guy. So we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. And we recognize the fact that it says, I'm just scanning my microphones. I hope I got everything working right here. Never did check. 2 Corinthians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, that's a good sermon right there, and Timothy, our brother, well, there it is again, our brother, all part of the brethren here. Now remember, Timotheus, at the very beginning, he was a son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed. So you've got this Jewess who believed that Christ was the Son of God, but his father was a Greek. But Timothy is considered a brother here. Not only that, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, Paul calls him his son. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. Well, we know them. Who is this radio guy for years and years and years, and he would do a radio program. Oh, I cannot think of this guy's name. Went through the whole Bible. Kind of an older guy. Oh, I can't remember this guy's name. He was one of the biggies in the old radio days. And I can't remember his name. But I was listening to him one time, and we just started to get into this stuff. And he was telling us he was talking about how Paul was married. Paul was married? Vernon McGee. J. Vernon McGee. Very good. Wow, you're something. Good old J. Vernon McGee. Was saying that Paul was married. Well, he's got children. Well, who are his children? Well, you know, Timothy. No, my own son in the faith. So Timothy is, Paul considers Timothy his own son in such a manner. That's quite the honor, you know, to think that he's your son. Well, do you have any sons out there that you have taught this stuff to, and they would be similar to what Timothy, you know, kind of a deal? People don't seem to last long in this stuff, do they, when you think about it? They get going on it for a couple of years, and then it gets tough, or something really happens, and it's hard. This is tough stuff. Okay, 1 Timothy 1:18. 1 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. See, there it is again. According to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Oh, there's a couple things in this one. Again, there's a reference to son Timothy. According to the prophecies which went before thee. No, it says before, on thee. So, what we're talking about here, Paul's committing to Timothy, according to the prophecies, the preachings, the teachings, which is what that is, which went before on thee. And by them, what? By those things that were put to him, he's going to fight Midas' war, good warfare. So, for those that don't want to fight, and this is why I'm kind of disgusted with myself here, having this job, I'm doing my best not to fight with anybody about stuff. Well, I don't get any emails anymore from these guys out there that want to fight and squabble. You know, they just don't want to. And I'm trying to be a good, around here, just kind of drop some questions and some comments, which I've been doing. But if you're going to teach and preach Timothy, which is what was put on Timothy to do, he's going to have to war a good warfare, so are we. If you're going to want to do the Timothy taught stuff, you're going to have to fight. We're just going to have to. Thus cometh the persecution. I mean, I could go down the list of specifics that I know, but I guess there's no point. But if we're going to try to do the Timothy stuff, now how many times have you read Timothy? What do you know about Timothy? Oh, there's some tough stuff in there. But it's comforting to know that you're trying to do the right thing that will cause you to get rewards during this judgment seat of Christ. Doesn't that give you some comfort? To know that you're not just blowing out a bunch of religious hoogwalla, whatever hoogwalla is. And it's going to make a fight war, a good warfare. Now, I was noticing where it says there, according to the prophecies which went before on thee. I thought, well, that's an interesting way to say that. So I remember that Paul put his hands on Timothy. I said, let's go back and see, because this is where Paul gave Timothy what to do here. I got to check on something here. Something's popped up on the screen again. All right. Okay, see, I still look at this stuff anyway. Here we go. 1 Timothy 4:14, talking to Timothy. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. There's the preachings, there's the teachings. Now, there's the stuff that Paul gave Timothy, and he's referring to again here, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, the stuff I preached and taught to you before, that's the stuff you're going to have to war good warfare with. Then it says, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Well, there you go. There's where you get the laying on of the hands in the churches today. Well, sorry, don't think so. This is what Paul did to Timothy. This is what the presbytery, the crowd that was there, put this stuff on Timothy, preached this stuff to Timothy. Well, if you go to 1 Timothy 5:22, he's telling Timothy not to lay hands on other people so fast. No, come on, that's not. Just look at the verse. 1 Timothy 5:22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. In other words, Timothy, don't go out there and grab somebody and try to punch them into knowing this stuff. Don't get so angry. Don't get so frustrated. Remember, you're going to war a good warfare. But lay hands suddenly on no man. Suddenly. Don't let your temper get to you. Don't let yourself do what you want to do. And I have to say that to myself here at school, believe it or not. There are some times I just want to grow and just deal with something. Don't you? Well, Paul tells Timothy, listen, Timothy, this stuff that I preached you and we gave to you, don't blow this warfare by wanting to get onto somebody. And don't do what they're doing. Neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure, Paul, or Timothy. Well, I thought Paul taught that Christ took care of the law, so there's no law, there is no transgression. Well, that's true. So what he's talking about here is this physical stuff. You do what these other people are doing, your soul is still clean, but your testimony is going to be disrupted. Your judgment seat of Christ is going to be disrupted. And for sure, Paul, don't grab anybody at least. So going back to 1 Timothy 1:18, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them, those things that I taught you, we prophesied to you, we put on you, those are the things you're going to have to war good warfare. That's just the way it is. Endure hardness. That's the soldier he's talking about there. So when we get into Timothy, we want to put Timothy into life. I guarantee you, we're going to have a war with somebody somewhere. And it's comforting to know that we're fighting over the right stuff. And it's not that you want to fight about them. You just want to dress right, talk right, do right, go the right thing. Be the man that Timothy tells us we ought to be. Be the woman we ought to be. Titus jumps into that ballgame in Titus chapter 2. But still, we're just talking Timothy here. There's enough stuff in Timothy's books to deal with without jumping into Titus. So, let's go to 1 Timothy 6:20. Because here it is again. 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Well, what did Paul commit to Timothy's trust? Well, he taught Timothy about the ways of Paul. Paul's ways, which were in Christ. Right? And the things that he was given, he's going to have to fight for them. Because Paul has committed them to him, to thy trust, that he's not going to blow it. Avoiding profane and vain babblings. Oh, what's that? That's rightly dividing. The other side of profane babblings is rightly dividing. Because if it's not rightly dividing, it's profane and vain babblings. So Paul is committing to Timothy to teach rightly dividing, which is Paul's teachings, not the gospel teachings. Timothy, don't you go out there and start preaching the Beatitudes now. You know, and don't preach the stuff that I taught to the Jews as far as losing their salvation and all this kind of stuff. You know, the pastoral power thing and the guilt trip. Don't start doing that, Timothy. You stick to what's rightly divided. I'm trusting. I'm putting this to your trust. Avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so-called. Yeah, science, right. How many things do we accept because we were taught about science and we just accept it? Do we really know? Are these really pictures from a star gazillions of miles away that this telescope is still taking pictures of? When those things come back with numbers and I mean, it's not like a photograph. It comes back with little letters and numbers and stuff. And then we apply those to a certain kind of a standard thing and voila, we have a picture of the star. Do we really? I mean, come on. Do we really think that? One time we have Pluto as a planet. Next time Pluto is not a planet. Now we're finding out, of course, the papers are going nuts over this stuff. Now, more and more planets. More and more suns. There's water on Mars now. We got all the, everything is just flying all of a sudden. I think the people, the reprobate mind is believing all this stuff. Yeah, there's life on Mars, of course. Isn't that where women came from? No, women came from Venus. No, women came from Mars. Men come from Mars. I don't know. What are those books? What's that book out there? Well, there must be. There's life, and now they're coming down here. We got people from Jupiter. Probably politicians. They're all from Jupiter. I mean, who knows? But Timothy was told, listen, Timothy, I'm trusting you. Avoid profane and vain babblings. You stay out of that game of good speeches and fair speeches and all this kind of stuff. Guilt trips and all that. And you stay away from this science baloney. And oppositions of science, falsely so-called. You know, science is just opposite everything, it seems like, these days. And if you ever see an article about space or evolution or whatever they're kind of deciding up there, you're always going to find words like, well, probably, could have been, just might be. None of those articles are exact. They're always got some wave in it, some wavering in it. So, Timothy, stay away from this science baloney and stick to rightly dividing. Stick to what I taught you, and that's the stuff you're going to have to fight over. And then there's two more things here, three things again. 2 Timothy 1:2. Timothy again is called Paul's my dearly beloved son. Mention that again. And then lastly here this evening, Hebrews, of all places, Hebrews 13:23. What a way to end this thing. Hebrews 13:23. What does Timothy have to do with Paul and Hebrews? Well, if this Hebrew stuff is where Paul is talking to the Jews in Acts chapter 9 already, then here's this guy, Timothy, brother Timothy, and know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty. He's set at liberty. So he gets done with preaching to the Jews about Christ being the Messiah. He is the Son of God. The last thing he pops in there was, by the way, you know, our brother Timothy, he's set at liberty. He's got this stuff down. He knows this stuff. With whom, if he will come shortly, I will see you. I mean, Timothy's coming back. Timothy's going to be... Isn't that just it's amazing at the end of Hebrews? And I really believe it is in Acts chapter 9 where Paul spoke to the Hebrews that stuff. And he still mentions Timothy in there. And he's set at liberty. Does that mean he was just let go out of the club? I don't believe so. I believe the fact that Timothy is set at liberty. Timothy's got this stuff that Paul was already being taught. So Jews, fellow Jews out there, gospel people, you know, set yourself at liberty. Get out of that gospel stuff. Get out of the Jewish teachings that were given to the Jews. Quit trying to live Hebrews and James and 1 and 2 Peter and Jude. Quit trying to live Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I mean, get that liberty, and that liberty only comes from Christ. And this is what Paul was telling the Jews. Come on, you guys, here's Timothy. He's been set at liberty. So can you, you know. But anyway. Well, there you have it. Timothy was quite a guy. He's quite important in this whole deal. And those books, 1 and 2 Timothy, are extremely important to us as a Christian. But trying to live those things, you're going to have to warfare. But there'll be comfort knowing you're fighting for doing the right thing. So there you have it. Timotheus. Yeah, there you go. And according to ignore J. Vernon McGee stuff, that guy was all wet. Paul was not married. Paul even says, man, be like me. How can he say he was... I got to shut off the video here. Goodbye, video, folks. Where's it at here? Where's my... There we go, right there. Stop.